fastest 3 hours in radio. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Coronaviruses are pretty good. I mean, you're a virologist, you know all this stuff, but you can manipulate them in the lab pretty easily. It's just spike protein drives a lot of what happens with the coronavirus, zoonotic risk. So you can get the sequence, you can build the protein, and we work with Ralph Barrick at UNC to do this. Insert it into a backbone of another virus and do some work in the lab.
That's Peter Danzig, the WHO, talking in December 2019, you know, not talking about the pandemic. It hadn't hit yet, even though technically it was probably here. His name came up again because he was on 60 Minutes. He's a member of the WHO and an expert on how animal viruses jump to humans. And for some reason, he seems to be carrying water for the Chinese. Maybe he's being sincere. I sincerely doubt it. Jamie Metzl is a senior fellow of the Atlantic Council and advisor to the World Health Organization, former official during the Clinton years for the Clinton administration. Jamie, welcome back.
Thanks, Brian. Happy to be with you.
So you've had a crazy few days. You went out on a limb. You're really upset that the Chinese have not been totally transparent and giving us, the world, full access and been totally candid about how this virus started. What got you so incensed?
Yeah, so I'm upset. I feel like everybody on Earth, including everybody in China, should be upset. As everybody knows, we're in the middle of the worst pandemic in a century. We've got nearly 3 million dead. Billions of people's lives have been disrupted. And so we need to get to the bottom of how this happened. And so the thing that really upsets me is that the Chinese government from day one has been engaged in a massive cover-up with destroying samples, hiding records, imprisoning Chinese journalists, asking basic questions, and with a universal gag order on Chinese scientists, preventing them from speaking or writing anything about the origins of the pandemic. And that's why I've been calling from day one for a full and unrestricted international forensic investigation into the origins of the of this pandemic.
So you saw that the report was done. Did the WHO didn't do this report directly? They sent in scientists, right?
That's a really important point, Brian, because people feel like, oh, this is the WHO, like Peter Daszak works for the WHO. That's not exactly how it is, although that's how it's been reported. So the team that did this study was an independent advisory group, albeit organized by the WHO, but not controlled by it. And it was a joint study with their Chinese government counterparts. And the work product, in my view, was outrageous and terrible. But it was really great that Dr. Tedros Adhanom, the director general of the WHO, immediately rejected the core finding, and Dr. Tedros said, no, we need to investigate all of the hypotheses, and if this team can't do it, Dr. Tedros, am going to find a team that can look seriously at this. So I think that I know there are reasons why many people are critical of WHO, and it's not perfect, but in this case, actually, Dr. Tedros is really trying to do the right thing and taking big risks to do it.
But here's what bothers me, Jamie. I don't know how good that team is. This is your business. But they weren't given access. So you could put 20 teams in there. They could be the most talented scientists ever. But unless the Chinese are going to be open and transparent, instead of channeling their old Saddam Hussein from the 90s with the weapons inspectors, it doesn't matter how competent they are, right?
Well, I share your outrage. And you and I are coming at this from maybe different political starting points, but we are exactly together on this basic point. I mean, for the magnitude of this pandemic, the Chinese government owe their own people and the world absolute openness and transparency. And instead of that, we've seen complete obfuscation and continued cover-up.
True. And what you now have is a Chinese country that is not only non-repentant, but they are actually cockier with an additional swagger because they came out of the pandemic first. And along the way, they blamed us for it. They said it was our army that poisoned them.
Yeah. No, it's outrageous. And that's why from day one, I've been making the case to let's look seriously at how this pandemic began. We also have to look at our other failures after the pandemic began, but we need to look at how this pandemic began, and we need to be honest about what is the problem we're facing. And everybody in life wants to get along with everybody, but we can't purchase good feelings on a foundation of lies.
Absolutely. So, you know, I watched you in 60 Minutes, then you were kind enough to do our show, and I heard you with Laura, too, because you're speaking on behalf of us. And if you speak and you're a Republican, you think, well, he's going to bat for the China virus. And if you speak for Democrats, seems like many times you're going to bat for Anthony Fauci, and it's not important how it started. So look at my response.
We all need to go to bat for the truth. And whatever our politics, I mean, this is beyond politics. This virus isn't discriminating based on Republicans or Democrats. It's harming all of us. And this isn't about even pointing fingers at China or anybody else. If we don't fully understand where this pandemic began, how it started, we're not going to be able to prioritize our response, and we're not going to we're not going to be ready for the next crisis. So this isn't just about blaming or politics. This is about our lives and our children's lives.
So a couple of things, and I'm willing for you to talk over my head on this. Peter Danzig said something on the bump in 2019. He explains how easy it is to manipulate a coronavirus in a lab. You can get the sequence and build the protein and insert it into the backbone of another virus. And he was saying that not knowing we're about to get hit by a pandemic. Can you explain why that was important to know, and that he believes that, because we're going to play something else from him?
It's really, really important, and it's connected to what we were talking about a moment ago. Why did this pandemic begin in Wuhan? If the foundation is a horseshoe bat virus, the horseshoe bats are more than 1,000 miles away in southern China. What they do have in Wuhan is China's only level 4 virology institute with the world's largest collection of bat coronaviruses that was doing aggressive gain-of-function research trying to make these types of viruses much more able to infect human cells and infect human cells in exactly the way the SARS-CoV-2 infects our cells now. That's why it's so concerning, and that's why it's frankly so outrageous that somebody like Peter Daszak is actually a member of this international investigation team.
What do you think of him?
You know, I think he's maybe well-intentioned, and it's probably hard for any of us that he's dedicated his whole life based on a certain worldview, which is that these kinds of outbreaks happen when the viruses jump from animals to humans, and so we need to understand that process, and we need to prepare for what may be coming. In pursuit of that, they thought, well, let's understand the evolution of viruses by pushing them forward. And then he got money from the United States government and elsewhere, and he funded his organization, EcoHealth Alliance, funded the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And I think, frankly, it's probably hard for any of us to admit that our life's work, what we've believed in more than anything else, could have caused one of the greatest disasters in modern history. So I don't think that he's some kind of sinister agent of China. But I think that he's so locked in to a certain worldview, and he's defending that worldview, in my view, even in face of pretty strong circumstantial evidence to the contrary.
So you're trying to think, Peter, that he – excuse me. You're trying to think that Peter, Jamie, you're going to the better side, his better angels. So – you kind of pitted against him in 60 Minutes. So I want to play the clip where Peter Danzig defends himself. He's a member of the WHO, an expert on how animal viruses jump to humans. He is perfectly comfortable with this study. Cut 50.
The theory is that somehow that virus got from a bat into one of these wildlife farms, and then the animals were shipped into the market, and that they contaminated people while they were handling them, chopping them up, killing them, whatever you do before you cook an animal.
Wild animals.
Yeah,
like what?
They're traditional food. Civets, these are like ferrets. There's also an animal called a ferret badger. rabbits, which we know can carry the virus, those animals were coming into the market from farms over 1,000 miles away.
Were you able to test any of the animals found in the Wuhan market for the virus?
Well, the China team had done that, and they found a few animals left in freezers. They tested them. They were negative. But the fact that those animals are there is the clue.
But there's no direct evidence that any of those animals were actually infected with the bat virus.
Correct. Now what we've got to do is go to those farms and investigate, talk to the farmers, talk to their relatives, test them, see if there were spikes in virus there first.
So the team doesn't actually know if any of the farmers or the truckers were ever infected.
No one knows yet. No one's been there. No one's asked them. No one's tested them.
A couple of things. I heard they hosed the whole market down instantly before anyone could analyze it. They gutted it first. The Chinese did. And yep. they physically picked up people and put them into buildings and just said, "We'll get you food. Just shut up." And when scientists tried to speak up and speak out, they were jailed. One guy died. What do you think of that exchange with Leslie Stahl?
Well, here's my biggest problem with it. I get, as I said before, that Peter, that his life's work is looking at how these viruses jump from animals to humans. And because that's happened in the past, we need to think of that as a very real possibility. The animal transmission, where an animal may have been sent to the market, I think it's highly unlikely because we would have seen outbreaks where the animals were originally. We would have seen outbreaks where the animals were in transit to Wuhan. And these animals weren't only sent to Wuhan, so we would have seen it someplace else. It's highly unlikely, but nothing wrong with looking at any hypothesis. The thing that I find so outrageous and frankly offensive is that this joint team of these international experts and the Chinese government are bending over backwards to try to find evidence where there's none of this animal-to-human jump or frozen chain transmission, and they're doing everything possible to prevent a full investigation into the, in my view, likely possibility that COVID-19 started from an accidental lab incident. That, in my view, is the core problem.
All right. Just a little bit about bats. This is from CBS This Morning in March of 2021. Looking for the closest COVID relative in a bat cave that caused the deaths over in 2012. So yeah. Here's a CBS correspondent trying to get in. Cut 51.
COVID's closest known relative in the natural world, a 96% genetic match, was ID'd here in horseshoe bat droppings in 2013. In a copper mine in this hazy, rolling countryside of China's southwest Yunnan province. Our CBS News team searched for it, where six men contracted a novel flu-like virus in 2012. Three died. Before we found that mine, we found this. Angry men shouting at us to leave.
We've just been chased off away from where the mine is. These guys are proof that they're trying to control the people who go in and therefore trying to control the information that comes out.
Can you deduce anything from the security in a cave/mine?
Oh, it's huge. That's really significant. It wasn't just CBS. The same thing happened to BBC. And there were some researchers who actually made it to the cave and took some samples. And those samples were confiscated and presumably destroyed. And so why is it that they don't want people to go there? Well, this virus that was taken from that cave, it's called RATG-13, as was said in that clip, is the closest known genetic relative to SARS-CoV-2. It's probably not the backbone of SARS-CoV-2, but we know that people, researchers from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, had multiple trips to that mine and collected many different viruses, including bat coronaviruses, and it's possible and even quite likely that there were other viruses, possibly even more closely genetically related to SARS-CoV-2. But what's happened? The databases from the Wuhan Institute of Virology have vanished. No one has access to them, including this international committee that said they were going to the Wuhan Institute of Virology and asking questions. And so that's really significant. If the databases have disappeared, if the Chinese scientists won't say what viruses were held, specifically what viruses were held in these institutes, and they're blocking researchers, reporters, or anybody from going to that mine, it doesn't say, oh, yeah, China's totally transparent, they're really being open, they want to get to the bottom of this. It tells me, and I think should tell everybody, they are actively trying to hide something. So that should make us want to know and, frankly, demand to know what is being hidden.
Jamie, wow. So this isn't over, not by a long shot, because we just don't have the answers. And the harder they push back, the closer we're, the closer we're getting to the truth. Jamie Metzl, thank you.
My pleasure, Brian. Anytime.
You got it. 1-866-408-7669. We gave you a lot. Back in a moment.
Expanding your knowledge base. It's Brian Kilmeade.